Now we have covered about being called. Now we will cover about being chosen. And faithful means you're faithful to the end. Okay? Let's come to Romans, the sixth chapter. So this will tie in with the series that I have been doing on Original Christianity Restored for today. Now let's talk about those who are not chosen. They don't answer the call. All of those who do not answer the call are not chosen. Yet every one of us has some kind of relationship with God, as detached as it may be. Even those who reject God, still God gives them life, food, etc. And this is something that we did not come to until just recently, which is provoked by this verse, Romans 6 and verse 14. Here is the key, and this is one of the most misunderstood verses in the Bible. Okay? And this verse is what is thrown at people who want to love God and keep His commandments, and they tell you, if you want to keep the commandments, you are under law. Wrong. How many have had that happen to them? Probably have. I bet Ernest has run across that with some of his transporting patients to and fro. Yes, indeed. Okay? Here's what it reads. For sin shall not rule over you because you are not under law but under grace. What does it mean to be under law? Pardon? Not the penalty, because then you would have to have penalty of grace. See? That's the way it was explained in the past. If you're under law, you're under penalty of the law. No, not true. Every human being in the world is under law to God. Every human being. Only those who have been chosen are under grace. So let's answer the first part of it. Come over here to chapter 7 and verse 1. And it's been right here in the Bible all the time. Are you ignorant, brethren? For I am speaking to those who know law, that the law rules over a man for as long a time as he may live. Because in him we live and move and have our being. Is that not correct? Whether saint or sinner or whatever. Yes, indeed. Okay. We function by law, don't we? How do they know if you're healthy? By the law of how your heart is beating, what your temperature is, and so forth. And when you are sick, you are violating the physical laws in your body, whether vicariously because someone else brought it to you, or you have done something you shouldn't do and you get sick. You have to breathe. You're under law. You have to breathe so much. You have to breathe so deep. Okay? Same way with eating. Same way with the whole bodily process that we have. We're all subject to the law of gravity. We're all subject to the law of the atmosphere around us, are we not? Yes, indeed. We're subject to heat and cold. All of those function by the different laws of God. So those who are under law include everyone in the world. Everyone. Now, we have that explained back here in Romans 3. Romans 3. Now, Romans 3 is quite a chapter, so we'll cover it because this gives us some very important things to understand. Then we will talk about what it means to be under grace. All right. Let's start right here in verse 1. What then is the advantage of the Jew, or what is the profit of circumcision? Much in every way, because primarily in that they were entrusted with the oracles of God. Here's law and principle. Anyone who has the word of God is responsible for it. Now, what did Judaism do? They overlaid it with their oral traditions, claiming they came from Moses, but they did not. Okay? Verse 3. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief nullify the faithfulness of God? No, God is always true all the time. You can count on His word. There is not one lie in the Word of God. The lies come from carnal-minded men who want a different interpretation or result. See? And you can always try this. This is the classic one. And do all of the religionists who profess to be Christian know which day is Sunday and which day is the Sabbath? Yes. Do they not also all admit that Saturday is the Sabbath? Yes. Okay. Are they faithful? No. So no unbelief of any man is going to affect God, which means this, as Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes, in the place of judgment I saw wickedness. And just to paraphrase, in the king's court there was wickedness there. Those are places which you would think there would not be wickedness, right? Because there is, does that nullify God's word? Okay, that's important. Same way with the Protestants. Same way with the Catholics. Same way with any other religion in the world. However, and this is interesting, doesn't every human being have an opinion about God? Whether he exists or doesn't exist? Whether he's true or not true? Whether he's faithful or not faithful? And after all, how can you believe God when you see all the hypocrisy of the ministers and pedophilia of the priests? All right, Paul answers that question. Verse 4, may it never be. God is always faithful and true. Question, do they eventually pay for their sins? Answer, yes. Why? Because all are under law. Sooner or later, okay? Rather, let God be true, but every man a liar, exactly as it is written. What does it tell us about the human heart? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Now, a little sidebar. I was watching the National Geographic Channel the other day, and it had to do with mind tricks. Okay? And I think it's still on, so I might be able to catch it tomorrow if I watch it. But what they were talking about is how human beings lie. Lie to themselves and lie to others. And people think that if you look at someone right in the eye, you can tell if they're lying or not. But con men really, really know how to never be detected until it's too late. After he's already spent your $100,000, if you watch American Greed. Okay. Okay. Then it showed a man who shuffled cards and then mixed them up and had a person pick one up, hold it, and then he would ask them questions to find out which card they had. And he always got it right because he knew how to look at people's face and know that there are different things that different people do and know that they have a certain reaction when they lie. So he would know which card, because he called the number and the kind of card already, and then they said no. And one girl, every time she told a lie, she pursed her lips. Different people have different things, okay? And then it said, well, what about babies and children? Okay. What did you do automatically when you were caught doing something wrong when you were a wee little tyke? You lied. Didn't you? I did. Okay. And you've heard me tell the story about when I found out there was no Santa Claus and I told my mom, well, that's a lie. She said, well, that's a white lie. But I got switched. Okay. All right. So, every man is a liar. Now, back to babies, just before we get back to this verse. So what they did, they showed two-month-old babies. They can't speak, but they can still lie. Because they will cry like they are hungry, and you run over to go and feed them. And they don't want to be fed, but they want to be held. Right? So the carnal mind is working already before they can even talk. And that blew me away. Okay? All right. Then they also ran a test where they had a big chocolate cake out here with lots of goodies on it and thick, gooey fudge frosting. Okay? And they would bring a child in there and say, okay, now, you're not to touch it. You're not to eat anything. You know, like about 3 or 4 years old. You're not to eat anything. And I'm going to go away for 20 minutes. And when I come back, if you haven't eaten anything or touched it, you will get a prize. Okay? But they had the camera running the whole time. So here are the kids, you know, looking at the cake like this, and looking at the cake. And I'll reach out and get a little frosting or a little crumb, you know. And one of the boys, he took his finger and went around the bottom where the frosting was and went, and ate it like that, see. So after 20 minutes, he came in and asked the boy, did you eat anything? Nope. Did you touch anything? Nope. Well, after he was shown what he did, he admitted that it was true. So, let's read on here. Let God be true, but every man a liar from birth. Okay. Exactly as it is written, that you, God, might be justified in your words and might overcome when you are being judged by men. And that's what it means in the Greek, because it's present tense passive. You are being judged. Okay? Everyone has a judgment concerning God, right? Yes. Now then, if our unrighteousness brings to reality God's righteousness, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous to inflict wrath? You lie, you're going to get caught. You murder, you're going to prison. See? God put the authorities there to take care of it because he knows how bad human beings are. So when those institutions become lawless, like we have today, when the lawless make the laws, criminality rules. Sound like Sacramento? Washington, L.D.C.? Yes, indeed. The L is there for liars. District of Liars and Corruption. Okay. He said, I'm speaking according to man's view. That's why when I first read the book of Job, I really for a short time thought, God was wrong. God was wrong. Look at how good he was. Later I learned everything that he did that was right was because it came from God. So it is God's righteousness in him and not his righteousness equal to or greater than God's. So that's why God met him in the whirlwind and said, Job, come here. He got his wish. God spoke to him. Okay? So may it never be. Otherwise, how shall God judge the world? And he judges every individual automatically by his laws because all are under law. Under law to God for your behavior, whether you believe God, know God, or anything else, you're still under law to God. Okay? You're under law to all the environmental laws that God gave. Take away oxygen and you're done. Okay? So under law means that your relationship with God is under law. Then what does he do? Come down here to verse 9. What then? Are we of ourselves better, that is, Jews or Gentiles? No, not at all. For we have already charged both Jews and Gentiles all with being under sin. Now, where there is no law, there is no sin, so all are under law, correct? See? It's been told in the past, if you're under law, well, you're keeping the commandments of God. Not so. even if you keep the commandments of God in the letter, you are still under law to God because you're not converted. Because being under grace puts you in an entirely different category. And that's what we need to understand. So all these religious arguments all fall by the wayside. Okay? Now, verse 10. Exactly as it is written, there is not a righteous one, not even one. Not even Job. And then it lists everything that they do. Let's read it, because it's just like watching the news tonight. Okay? There is not one who understands. Well, we wonder why all these things are happening. Well, we wonder why we have bad weather. Well, we wonder why the Muslims are always mad and blowing up people. Well, we wonder why these people bring in heroin and cocaine and pot, and since it's so bad, let's all go to pot and smoke pot and say it's just fine. Okay? Right? Yes. No one understands. There is not one who seeks God. Now, I made a mistake recently, the Halloween. I came into the bank one day, just before Halloween, and here they had all of these, they had skeletons and, you know, big cobwebs, and then there was certain things put up along where you go in to make deposits and cash checks and things like that. And so I was looking at all of that, so I did a foolish thing, but it was profitable. I said to the gal, you know, what if these things offend me? Just that little simple thing. I didn't say, woman, stand back, the wrath of God's going to come down and destroy you, because this is from Satan the devil. Boom! You know. I just asked a simple question. What if this offends me? Or she says, oh, it's all for fun. Now, she was a nice lady. She was one of the teller supervisors. Well-dressed, decent-looking, nothing licentious about any of her clothes or anything. And she would be thought of in the world as a wonderful, nice woman, correct? Yes, in the world. But look at how they've been so conditioned to accept sin and deception, okay? So I said to myself, Fred, that's the last time you're ever going to do that. Because I don't want them, if I go in to cash a check and say, sorry about that, we're not going to cash your checks. So, anyway, verse 12. They have all gone out of the way. Together they have all become depraved. There is not even one who is practicing kindness. No, there is not so much as one. And if they do, very few are going to be pure-hearted in it. Right? Look at all the charities that supposedly do good. Now think of the half island where there is Haiti. One side of the island, you have the Dominican Republic. Haiti, they have witchcraft woven into their Catholicism. They are deeply involved in it. So they had a big earthquake, and they get hurricanes, and they're always needing money. And with the last hurricane, $4 billion went into that little area. But they still have not got it fixed because of corruption. See? There's not one that does good. If they do good over here, then they've got to sin over there because human beings are that way. Now, that's what it means to be under law. We'll see it here, and then we'll get back to what is it under grace in just a minute. Verse 13, their throats are like an open grave. That sounds like the politician, doesn't it? Yes. With their tongues they have used deceit. No, we're honest people. And the venom of asp is under their lips, whose mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. The way of peace they've had not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Verse 19. Now then, we know that whatever the law says, that's all the laws of God. Let's count all of the laws of creation and living and everything else together. It speaks to those who are under law. That's everyone, notice. So that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Now then, we'll do verse 20 here again. Before we do, let's ask a question. Question, does every religion, now you see, being chosen by God does not make you religious, because God's way is a way of life. But does every religion have certain things you need to do if you do something bad, if I can put it that way? Yes, okay? Yes, indeed. Even the Old Covenant, they had works they had to do, sacrifices they had to offer, okay? Same way with Judaism. So the phrase works of law here means any work that anyone would do to try and justify themselves. How many have the book Judaism? Okay. Look in the back and read some of the laws of Judaism and ask yourself, would you keep these? The Jews keep them because they think that makes them right with God, but it doesn't, because their hearts are not converted. See? So all religion is a substitute so that people can appear to be good, but conversion is entirely different, completely different. That's why people get disgusted with churches. I just got a report of a man who, he says, abandon all churches. The ship is sinking. Referring to Protestantism and so forth, because they're all so phony, okay? And he says, stay home and read your Bible. We got church at home, hello. Okay, now then. By works of law, any work of law. Is Sunday keeping a work of law of man? Yes, indeed. Sabbath is what God asked you to do. Are there people who keep the Sabbath but are not converted? Yes, every Orthodox Jew. And every work of law that they do does not justify them to God. Why? That's the question, why? Okay? Therefore, by works of law, there shall no flesh be justified before him, for through the law is the knowledge of sin. Now, how does a person become justified? You must first repent. You must answer the call. And God's Spirit will work with you. That's important to understand. Now, there may be lots and lots of people out there that one of the seven spirits is keeping track of. Will they turn to God? Will they not turn to God? God wants to know. If they don't, then it goes. If they do want to turn to God, then God does what? He begins to draw them, John 6:44. God, the Father, the Sovereign of the universe, begins to draw you. Now, you must follow through with that. Now, you're not just dealing with men. You're not just dealing with ministers. You're not dealing with the church. You're not dealing with religion. In this case, God himself becomes personally involved in your life. So he expects you to keep coming. Now, some people take longer than others. We don't know how long one of the seven spirits of God is going to be working with a person. Okay? Then they must be brought to repentance. Now, turn back to chapter 2 and see the action of grace. Grace is like a huge umbrella over your life. We'll see that. From which comes the love of God, the mercy of God, the forgiveness of sin, the understanding of his word, the understanding of his commandments, and so forth. What we have, how many, just a little, another little sidebar. How many have heard the song, Alone Yet Not Alone? You haven't heard that? Another question. Sidebar over here. How many watch Fox News? Okay. What's on Fox News? Okay. The woman who was a paraplegic? Okay. It's quite a song. It goes, Alone Yet Not Alone. Here, okay. The woman who wrote the song and sung the song is a paraplegic. She's in a wheelchair. And there was a song to God, alone, yet not alone. And it's kind of a story of her life. God honors that kind of thing when people do that, okay? And it's very inspiring. Now, whether she will eventually be converted or not, I do not know. But she certainly is for Jesus, isn't she? Will there certain blessings come because of being for Jesus? Of course. But those blessings are not necessarily evidence of conversion. See? Evidence of conversion is first a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And then repentance toward God in understanding the vileness of your own human nature. And that you know how awful that is before God, because God, in drawing you, has convicted you. See? Let's read it here. All right. Chapter 2, verse 4, Book of Romans. Or do you despise the riches of his kindness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the graciousness of God leads you to repentance? God calls you to that. You begin to see how evil and vile your sins are. You begin to understand that only the sacrifice of Jesus Christ can cover those sins. And why only his? Because he's the creator of mankind. And he made us in his image so that we can come to him and he could come to us in the flesh. See? It's all wrapped up in that. This is greater than going to church. This is greater than professing, I believe in Jesus. See? Leads you to repentance. But you, if you don't understand that, according to your own hardness and unrepentant heart, are storing up wrath for yourself against the day of wrath and revelation of God's righteous judgment, who will render to each one according to his works. And he does it on a continuous basis. On the one hand, those who with patient endurance and good works are seeking glory and honor and immortality, eternal life, called and chosen. Okay? Eternal life. On the other hand, to those who are contentious and who disobey the truth, who obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man who works out evil, both of the Jew first and of the Greek. Amazing. Happens automatic. See? Okay. Now, let's come over here to chapter 2, verse 13. What happens when you come to that point of repentance, as we started in Isaiah 55? God leads you to repentance. You know? When? Before God led you to repentance, did you ever think of yourself as being an evil, rotten, vile person? Never. You probably thought you were pretty good, especially when you compared yourself with other people. And you always chose the ones that were less than you to make you look better because you have a deceitful mind. Isn't that correct? Yes, that's just the way it is. See? And those who are better than you, you find fault with. Right? Yes, indeed. All of that is carnal human nature. So when you come to repentance, you repent of sin, and sin is the transgression of the law, so you must stop sinning in those things you know you are sinning in. Now, it's going to take more time in conversion after you're converted, before you really come to the deep conviction of how evil the human mind is. Okay? But God reveals that to us a bit at a time. He doesn't tell us everything all at once because it would be so hard to take. All right. Verse 13. Because the hearers of the law are not just before God. Everyone hears something about God. Okay? But what happens when you repent? The doers of the law shall be justified. Okay. So you have to start keeping the laws of God. Now, what is justification? Okay? Justification is means this, to be put in right standing with God, having your sins forgiven, okay? And remember, that is the start, okay? Let's go ahead and take another break, and we'll come back and continue.